right. Well, praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. Amen. Well, we're going to start out by singing Garment of Praise. Stand if you can. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. I may not have the mains on. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the when poor and needy and all alone. In love he said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Amen. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Want to do Pick a Hymn? Pick a Hymn. 353. We're starting Christmas music Wednesday. 353, Victory in Jesus. All right. Nice. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve. All I remember hearing Victory in Jesus on a radio preacher when I was a little kid on KSBJ, but I don't remember the preacher.
Oh, you don't remember? Yeah. Remember that song, though, amen? Yeah, that's a good song. All right, all right. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us as well. Do we have any praises or testimonies tonight? Praises or testimonies? Amen. Yeah, it was a good service. We had some visitors here. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's always good. And I don't know. Maybe things will. Maybe, yeah, good turkey, good stuff. And yeah, I didn't get my giblet gravy this year, but I'm going to be looking forward to it next year. Amen. I'm going to get me some giblet gravy before it's all over with. All right. Testimonies. Anybody else? Praises or testimonies? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's great. Praise the Lord for that. That's good, good, good. All right, what else? Anybody got an encouraging passage of Scripture or encouraging word they want to share? 1 Corinthians 12:13. Amen. All right, that's good. All right, all right. Very, very good. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Anybody else got one? Encouraging word? Passage of Scripture? Huh? Yes, ma'am. Proverbs 16:3. Amen. Very good. Proverbs 16:3. Good verse. Good verse. Anything online? Anybody chiming in online? Amen. Amen. All right, Loopy. Amen. Proverbs 16:3. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's take some prayer requests. Brother James, we'll let you run the mic around. Check one. Check. 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 Is it on? It is on now. There you go, brother. Very good. Prayer request. You got one? Hold your hand up. Brother James will bring the mic to you.
Sharon goes tomorrow for a checkup. Well, not for a checkup, to have her schedule, her surgery rescheduled, so we need to pray for her.
Sharon's foot surgery.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Sharon's foot surgery is going to be rescheduled tomorrow.
Ronnie Holman.
Ronnie Holman. Ronnie Holman. Cancer. Healing. All right, all right. What else?
All right, let's pray for Brother James's son.
Okay.
And pray for my daughter-in-law, Sabrina. And pray for Jessica. She's still having those medical conditions that they say it's all stress, but
right.
I could have told her that, but but I'm not a doctor. Uh-huh. Pray for those that weren't in church this morning for other reasons, medical reasons.
Right.
Fred Redman. And
Fred and Ann.
Oh, Barbara McNew, too.
Now, Barbara McNew.
Pray for safety over the holidays and traveling.
Yes, yes.
School's going to be out again next month for
right.
a week and
Traveling Mercies. Okay. Holidays. All right, all right.
Keep Johnny Hyman lifted up. We visited with him a few days ago, and he's got a good mind, but he is really atrophied bad for 3 weeks.
Oh,
three months.
Yeah, 3 months.
You got a lot to recover from.
Johnny Hyman recovery. You got it. Very good, very good. Johnny Hyman, you got it, yeah.
Pray for Jackie Sampson, his mother. She's not doing well, and Jackie's kind of down and out about that.
Yeah, so. Jolynn Haggerton, she was in the hospital, and she is now out of the hospital. So that's a praise. And so Jackie's sister will be taking care of her here for the next several days. And so hopefully everything will go good with that. Yep. It's kind of touch and go there for a while with Jolynn, but she is doing better and out of the hospital as of this afternoon. So amen and amen. All right. What else? Anything else? All right. Anything online, Brother Jeremiah? Okay. We want to unspokens. Okay. Spokens. Thank you, brother. Then let's see here. Chelsea Inslow. We lifted her up about the first week of November. She is the sister-in-law of Kevin. Kevin and Brooklyn, they sit back there on the back row. Brooklyn's got the little baby. Brooklyn was here this morning with her parents, with her mom and her dad and her baby. I guess Kevin's working. And so Kevin's sister-in-law, Chelsea Inslow, we had prayed for her about the first week in November. She was carrying twins, and she lost the boy, but she still has the baby girl. And so the doctors are kind of dumbfounded. They thought she would have lost the girl by now, but the girl continues to hang in there. And Brooklyn was telling me if she can get to like the middle of December, then the baby's got a real good chance of survivability. So we want to continue to pray for that situation. And, of course, we mentioned Jolynn Haggerton this morning. So anything else? Is that it? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life and, Lord, for church family, Lord, and for salvation. We praise you and thank you for that this evening, Lord. Thank you that we have a home in heaven waiting for us one day, Lord, a new glorified body, God. Just excited about your second coming. We're getting ready to worship you, Lord, and to praise you for your first coming. And Lord, we're just thankful that you've come into our lives and you've come into our hearts and you've saved us. And Lord, you've set us on a path. And Father God, we pray that you help us stay on the narrow road and keep a resolute focus on what we're to be doing and how we're to be living. Lord, I pray we keep short sin accounts. And Lord, we just not get too far out there with the sins that we need to confess and repent from. Help us keep those things short. Lord, as we come into the holiday season, the Christmas season, Lord, with Thanksgiving in the rearview mirror, we pray for protection for those that have to be out on the road and for those that are going to be traveling, especially for those that are traveling late in the evening, God. We pray you just pray a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we pray that those that would choose to imbibe and drive, drink and drive, God, we pray that people would intervene on their behalf and would keep the majority of that from happening this year, Lord. We just pray that people would have better sense and there would be folks around them that would have better sense. And, Lord, those barkeeps and bartenders would have better sense as they, cut people off when they don't need any more, God. We just pray there won't be a lot of death and mayhem out on the road this year from folks drinking and driving. So, God, we just pray in that in advance. Know that you are the God that is sovereign and Lord, can help us here and deliver in that situation. So, Lord, we're just lifting that up to you tonight. Lord, we continue to pray for Miss Jolynn, and we thank you for her getting to come home from the hospital. And we just pray for Jackie's sister as she cares for her mom. And Lord, we just pray you bring Jolynn through. And Lord, we're thankful that the church was praying for Miss Jolynn this afternoon as we put that on Facebook. And Father God, we just pray you get the glory and the honor for Miss Jolynn's healing and getting out of the hospital on that. We continue to pray, Lord, as we just mentioned, for Chelsea Inslow and praying for this little baby girl she's carrying. And Lord, we just pray that you spare that baby, God. You You allow that baby to develop and be viable outside of the womb. And Lord, we're just thank you and praise you for the gift of life. And Lord, we pray that you be with Chelsea and her husband as they grieve the loss of the one baby and as she still continues to carry the other baby. Lord, just be with that situation, be with that family. Lord, we lift up Sharon Heibarger to you tonight. We pray for this upcoming rescheduled foot surgery. We pray that it would be a success and, Lord, it'd bring healing to her body and to this part of her foot. And Lord, pray the recovery process would go smooth and, Lord, there'd be minimal scarring and all of those issues that she'd just get, Lord, she'd get to be further ahead of, Lord, of where she's supposed to be when it comes to her therapy. We pray there not be any setbacks in her therapy, Lord, and Father God, that she would just get on down the road with it. But Lord, we pray that this foot surgery gets rescheduled sooner and not later. We continue to lift up Ronnie Holman to you, Lord, and we pray for his cancer and his treatment. And Lord, we just pray that you might heal his body and remove that cancer from him. And Lord, I know he would give you a great testimony of praise. And Lord, we just pray you strengthen Ronnie and Nancy, and Lord, just help them as they go through this cancer diagnosis together. We lift up James's son to you tonight, Lord, with his issues and addiction, God, and we just pray that you give him victory in that area, Lord, and just help him, Lord, and bring him through. And then Sabrina, Lord, that's struggling with anxiety issues. Father God, we pray you help her during this holiday season, Lord, and I just pray that she is able somehow to put her focus and her mind's eye on you and your gospel. And God, you just might see her through all this stuff. And then Jessica with the health issues and conditions, we're praying for her, Lord, that you might bring healing to her body. Fred and Ann, as we mentioned them tonight, we pray for Brother Fred and Ann, and Lord, pray for their many health concerns and conditions. Be with Fred and his condition as well, Lord, and we pray you might see them through. We pray a hedge of protection around them, that nothing else would come against them at this time. And then Miss Barbara McNew, Lord, we pray for her. She's not been feeling well these last couple of weeks. We pray you might bring healing to her body, God. And then, Lord, Johnny Hyman, this great praise of deliverance from the COVID. Lord, he's got a ways to go in recovery, and we just pray that his appetite would be great, and, Lord, his rest would be beneficial. And, Lord, the rehab and the exercises would just begin to put muscle and mass back upon his body. Lord, we pray that you just rebuild him better than he was before and you just see him through. And, Lord, may his whole healing just be one miracle after another miracle of your divine touch upon his body. Lord, the unspokens tonight, we're thankful that we can bring them to you and mention them to you in silence as we sit here this evening and pray these things silently before you. We're thankful that you hear us. We know that you love us. We know that you're for us and not against us, God. And we just pray you minister to us, and Lord, you help us with whatever the unspoken represents. Give us understanding and give us a peace about it, God. And Lord, help us realize and understand that you're sovereign and you're working behind the scenes a lot of times. And your timing is not our timing. So, Lord, give us a great trust and give us a great faith as we lay those unspoken requests down at your feet. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And as we get into it, we just pray that we'd be illumined to it, God, and we would be helped by it. And, Lord, you would make us more to the image of Christ as we try to build our base of Bible knowledge about these last days and end times. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for all of it. We try to preach all of it, and Lord, we just want to worship you through it as we go through it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, well, very good. Let's take our Bibles and turn to that last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 15. Going back down the road here, Revelation chapter 15. And I'll invite you to stand. This will be the last time we get up before the end of the service. Revelation 15, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God reads this in Revelation chapter 15. It says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." After these things, I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we seek to finish this shortest chapter in the book of Revelation tonight. And what we've been talking about as we've looked at this chapter are the preliminaries to the final judgments. Preliminaries, okay? This is kind of the introduction. So what's going to happen? This 15, 1 through 8 is kind of setting it all up for us. And then chapter 16 kind of takes us, begins to take us through it. What we've already covered, we talked about how there is a great sign that signals the end. That's the balance of verses 1 and 2. We said the sign consists of seven angels who had these seven plagues. These seven plagues, we called them the seven bowl judgments, which that's what they are. We said they are the last, and we said because of that, they are the worst plagues. The second big thing, we talked about this sea of verse 2. And we said it wasn't an actual ocean, and we went through that and tried to explain all that and get everything we could out of that. And then we came to these two great songs, and we began discussing those in verses 3 and 4. We actually went to Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 18, and we read that lengthy song of Moses there in the book of Exodus. The song of Moses, we said, was a song of victory and deliverance for the righteous, and at the same time, a song of judgment and wrath on God's enemies. We said the tribulation saints gathered in triumph in a place of safety and security. And we said that they will echo the same song of deliverance sung long ago by the people of Israel. In addition to singing again with new meaning, the song of Moses, who led Israel in the redemption from Egypt, the redeemed saints before God's throne will also sing this second song here, the song of the Lamb, who is their eternal Redeemer. Now, we talked about how that song was first heard in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And like the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb expresses the themes of God's faithfulness, a deliverance of his people, and judgments of his enemies, or judgment of his enemies. And so we ended, last time we looked at Revelation chapter 15, with a comparison and a contrast between the two songs. We said the song of Moses was sung at the Red Sea. We said the song of the Lamb is sung at the Crystal Sea. We said the song of Moses was a song of triumph over Egypt. We talked about how the song of the Lamb is a song of triumph over Babylon. We discussed how the song of Moses told how God brought his people out. The song of the Lamb tells how God brings his people in. We said the song of Moses was the first song in Scripture, and the song of the Lamb is the last. The song of Moses commemorated the execution of the foe, the expectation of the saints, and the exaltation of the Lord. We said the song of the Lamb does what? It deals with the same three great themes. And so as we think tonight, as we get back into this, The words of the song recorded here in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I mean, when you look at that, and you go back to Exodus 15, and then you go back to Revelation chapter 5, you see that all of that doesn't match up word for word. Well, it says they sang the song of Moses and they sang the song of the Lamb. But what you want to get out of this is that this song here in Revelation chapter 15 is certainly representative of those two songs. Amen? The themes and many of the key terms are similar. This song here in chapter 15 adds some new stanzas to the triumph song of God's redeemed people. Yet every one of its lines here in chapter 15 finds an echo in the Old Testament. And I've always struggled with, people talking about how, well, you know, I'm just going to spend all my time in the New Testament. I'm not going to get in the Old Testament. I'm not going to study the Old Testament. I'm just going to spend all my time in the New Testament. Well, friend, the New Testament, chock full of Old Testament. I mean, really. The New Testament is so full of the Old Testament. Might as well study all of it. Amen? Just make it all part of your repertoire, right? The song adds some new stanzas to the triumph song of God's redeemed people, yet every one of its lines finds an echo in the Old Testament. Great and marvelous are your words. And they sang a new song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are your works. That is reminiscent of Psalm 139, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14 reads, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Amen? The title, Lord God the Almighty, as we work our way through this. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. The title, Lord God the Almighty, celebrating God's omnipotence, is essential to the triumphant power of the last judgments. That appears frequently in Revelation. I mean, you can't read Revelation and come away thinking that God's not all-powerful. All over the book, over and over again, it's talking about His powerfulness, His omnipotence. And the title, when we see it, God Almighty, was the name, that was the name by which God revealed Himself to who? How He revealed Himself to Abraham. Now, when we talk about Abraham and God, we immediately think of, oh, well, he told him that he was the great I Am. When you go back and look at the verses, it is, I am God Almighty. So I am begins it, God Almighty finishes it. The title God Almighty was the name by which God revealed Himself to Abraham, Genesis 17:1, Genesis 35:11, Genesis 48:3, Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. The exclamation, righteous and true are your ways, there in verse 3 as we work our way through the great song. Righteous and true are your ways reflects the Old Testament truth of Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. The Word of God reads in Daniel 4, 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven. Remember when God finally broke Nebuchadnezzar? Right? He finally came full circle, right? Daniel 4:37. Praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. God is called the King of the nations. We get that from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 7. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Jeremiah 10, 7. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due, for among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. The truth we read about here, about how God is holy, right? holy, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. The truth that God alone is holy is oft repeated in the Old Testament. I mean, verse after verse after verse. We could spend the next 20 minutes looking at the verses where it talks about how God and God alone is holy. From 1 Samuel through Psalms, through Isaiah, Habakkuk, I mean backwards and forwards, you name it, there it is. God alone is holy. The phrase, for all the nations will come and worship before you, quotes Psalm 86:9. Now, while the phrase, your righteous acts have been revealed, echoes such Old Testament passages as Judges chapter 5:11 and 1 Samuel chapter 12:7 and Psalms 103. We're in Psalm 103 today. Psalm 103 verse 6, Daniel 9:16 and Micah 6:5. As we think about the wonderful Old Testament imagery that is found in this great 3 and 4 verse of chapter 15, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The song, as we think about the application of this, the song of these redeemed saints, it really champions, man, it champions God's character. It really pushes to the forefront God's character as the omnipotent, all-powerful, immutable, unchangeable, sovereign. He's in control. Perfect. Perfect says what it is, perfect. And righteous creator and judge. And because he is all that, and because he is all of that, God must and will judge sinners. For if God ignored their sin, he would not be holy. If he just ignored sin, he would not be holy. He would not be righteous. He would not be true to his nature. Praise God, he's righteous. Praise God, he's holy. And as we talked about this morning, we can thank him if we're saved, if we're on the other side of that equation. Praise God for his forgiveness. Praise God for our salvation. Amen? So the song closes with a joyful anticipation of the millennial reign of Christ when all the nations will come and worship before God. In the words of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 66, verse 4, the Word of God reads, 66:4, Psalm 66:4, all the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Salah. Amen. Kind of like saying amen at the end of that deal. Amen. After God's righteous acts of judgment have been revealed during the tribulation, the time anticipated by Isaiah will come. Isaiah 66:23 says, and it shall be from new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. Now, we know that didn't happen the first advent, but that is going to happen at the second advent when he comes back the second time. And that time of nations, all mankind coming to worship Jesus, that time, that will mark the first phase of the fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. You know that verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Well, that brings us to the end of the passage, verses 5 through 8, right? Seven angels that literally carry the very plan of God. Seven angels that carry the very judgment of the Almighty. Seven angels, right? Verses 5 through 8. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. As throughout the Revelation, the phrase, "After these things I looked," that introduces a startling, dramatic, new vision. Something is about to draw John's attention away from the redeemed saints singing their praises before God's glorious throne. Now, that vision had to have been up here, right? That vision had to have been, whoa, can you believe that? That vision had to just, I mean, almost more than he could bear. But then this happens, and it draws his attention from that to this new vision, right? This new vision revealed to him the bold judgments of chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. But first, John saw the angels who will literally carry out those judgments. And as he watched, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. The apostle had seen a similar sight in an earlier vision, which anticipated this opening back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. So as we think about what's going on here in verses 5 through 8, let's just have a brief review about the temple, shall we? Amen. Tabernacle. Again, that Old Testament imagery. A review on the temple. When we read the word temple, which here comes from the Greek word naos, this means, in this verse, it's referring to the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary where God's presence dwells, emphasizing that God is the source of the plagues, right? He's the source of it. Now, the tabernacle was sometimes referred to as the tabernacle of testimony. And so we ask the question, well, why was it referred to as the tabernacle of testimony, Pastor? Because the most important item in the Holy of Holies was the what? What was in there? The Ark of the Covenant was in there, right? Sometimes called the Ark of the Testimony. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was so named because it contained what? It contained the testimony. What's the testimony? That's the two stone tablets on which God had written the Ten Commandments. That's right. Amen. So, in an earlier vision in Revelation chapter 4, God's throne room was open so the faithful could see in. In this vision, the heavenly tabernacle was opened to reveal the most severe earthly judgment ever on the unfaithful. Ever. I mean, these seven bold judgments are the pinnacle. They are the last, the finale. As John watched in the vision, the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple. The time has come in God's sovereign plan for the seven plagues, which represent what? I've said it, and I'll say it again. You'll hear it again as we go through chapter 16. The final and the last. The final deadly judgments to be poured out on the world. Now, these seven angels will literally execute that plan. We read in the verses that they were clothed in linen, clean and bright, the fabric representing their holiness and their purity, right? And after solemnly proceeding from the inner sanctuary of God's heavenly temple, the seven angels received the means by which they will dump God's judgment. We understand that the four living creatures, what are those things, the four living creatures? We understand those to be the cherubim, right? The cherubim. What are cherubim? That is an order of high-ranking angelic beings. When we study the Old Testament and go all the way through it, I want to say the passage is in Ezekiel. Yeah, Ezekiel. And the idea is, as finite humans try to wrap our minds around the imagery that's given to us in the Old Testament, these cherubim are like the bestowers or the transporters. It's hard to come up with adequate words, but they are the ones that accompany God's glory. As God's glory is manifest and moves from here or there to here or there. I understand these cherubim. This is the order of angelic beings that Satan rebelled and fell from. He was one of these that carried the glory of God, and thus the glory of God must be something, right? To be in the actual presence of the glory of God, that he wanted what? He wanted some of the... He didn't want all of God. He just wanted some. And you're not gonna get what? None. That's God's glory, right? And so that's the order of high-ranking angels that he fell from. So that they're involved. And then these seven angels are involved. And we read here this word for bowls. It comes from a Greek word, phallus, and it refers to shallow saucers. And so the imagery is not of a stream being poured gradually out of a pitcher, but out of the whole contents of the shallow saucer will be hurled down in an instant flood of judgment. So those who refuse to drink the cup of salvation will ultimately be drowned in the judgments poured from the bowls of wrath. So, back a little bit to the temple, the tabernacle imagery. Let's don't forget that. Bowls were part of the temple furnishings and were associated with the sacrifices in Exodus chapter 27, verse 3, Exodus chapter 38, Exodus 38, verse 3. And out of the heavenly temple came not only the angels, but also, as we're talking about the tabernacle and the temple, but also smoke, right? That was associated with the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament, symbolizing the glory of God and his power. So smoke, an emblem of majesty, Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, also symbolizes God's glorious presence in the Old Testament tabernacle or temple. So this smoke also symbolizes God's what? His presence. Also symbolizes God's what? His glory. But this smoke also symbolizes God's wrath. Thus, no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. So, the glory cloud will remain in the heavenly temple until the earth is completely purged, cleansed, and prepared for the King and his kingdom. First time Jesus came, his first advent, well, the place was filled with sin. And he was coming in grace, and he was coming in mercy, and he was coming with great forgiveness to live among us. Jesus, second person of the Godhead, had taken on human flesh, being born of a virgin, and he would live a perfect sinless life so that he could die and carry the brunt, carry the burden, carry the penalty of our sin. Friend, when he comes back the second time, things are going to be cleaned up. Things are going to be all cleaned up. All the vile, all the evil, all that's going to be done away with before his feet come down, right? Those seven judgments, right? And then Armageddon. I mean, it's big stuff. Amen? Big stuff. So we're introducing it. So I'll basically close with this. The scene described in this chapter, chapter 15, establishes, I'll close it out the way we introduced it. The scene described in this chapter establishes the background for the final, remember I'm going to say that a bunch, the final definitive judgments poured out in chapter 16. Once the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ because of what he did for sinners. He became sin. So he had to undergo the wrath of God. In the future, at his second coming, wrath will be poured out on sinners because of what they did to Jesus Christ. Well, what will they have done to Jesus Christ? They will have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They will have not taken the gospel. You know, as we go through life and as we go through this thing called Christianity, if you're saved, you really are a blessed and set apart individual. You really are. And you probably didn't understand it all when you probably had some questions, but you had enough simple faith in a Savior that you knew he was taking care of your sin penalty and debt. And you were asking for forgiveness, and you were inviting Jesus to come into your life and to be your Savior and Lord. And you realize now, some years later, the great benefits and the incredible blessings and all of that. But I guess something I want to try to get across to you is that, and we always talk about an invitation. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to pray and have an invitation. But when you think about the incredible enormity of the sacrifice that God gave in sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. When you think about that, that's mind-boggling and mind-blowing. And so, when God the Father does everything, he does it all. He does everything to take care of the penalty of our sin. When he does everything, his command then to humanity, his command, since I did it all, I'm God the Father, I did it all. You sin. I didn't sin, you sin, right? I created you with choice, and you have chosen wrongly. But I'm going to take care of that wrong choice. And I'm going to send my Son to die in your place. My gospel, speaking for God, his gospel, it's a command. It's a command to be saved. If you're saved tonight, it's because you have obeyed the command of the gospel, right? And there's some folks that are just rebellious to the nth degree, right? And that rebellion, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have it my way. It's my way. That rebellion is going to get, ultimately, not the mercy of God, not the forgiveness of God, not the grace of God, but that rebellion is going to get the wrath of God. So you have to you have to kind of at the end of the day, you have to just kind of, I mean, it almost breaks you, man. I didn't rebel, I obeyed. Praise God. Amen. You obeyed. You obeyed. I obeyed. Praise God. Those out there that we know, that we don't know, that we love, that we don't love, that we like, that we don't like, they need to obey. Amen. It's a simple proposition. They need to obey. Obey the gospel and be saved, which is not Baptist, it's Bible. Amen. Praise God, we get to talk about it. Saved. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord for you tonight. Are you okay back there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on. We're almost done. Huh? Okay. Little shelf fell. Good to have you folks with us tonight online. Hope to see you soon. And praise the Lord for you being here tonight. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word tonight, Lord. And Father God, sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed about your grace and about your mercy. And Lord, on this side of eternity, we try to get as much of the detail right as we can. And God, we just pray that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us. And lead us, Lord, and show us where we got it right and help us where we got it wrong. But God, one thing we do know is that you've called us and you've saved us. And Lord, we exercised our free will, and it's mind-boggling and mind-blowing that we did, and there are those that won't. And Lord, we pray for those that won't. We pray that their won't will become I want to. I will. We pray that their no would become a yes to the gospel. Lord, help us love those in such a way, and help us pray for those in such a way, and help us live before those in such a way that they would see something in us that would earn a hearing and that we might be able to share the gospel message with them. Lord, we're praying for lost people. We're praying that they would get saved before it is eternally too late. So God, use us. Use us in the mix of it all. Use us in the gospel push of it all. Use us in that ministry of reconciliation that you blessed us with. And Lord, may our lives and may our church and may the different ministries, Lord, may it all bring glory and honor to your name. You deserving of all of it. And we owe you everything. And we praise you and we love you tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. We'll see you online, folks, next time.